This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. Last week, we left off with an idea that New Orleans culture is its best economic bet.
When tourism succeeds, everybody succeeds. I mean, that hasn't been the case.
That's Linnell Thomas, who grew up in New Orleans and is now chair of American Studies at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And now you don't live here right now, right?
Right, but you don't really have to rub that in. I don't know if that's appropriate. It's kind of rude.
But Linnell does keep up with what's going on down here.
Every time I look, there are more records being broken. Tourists are spending, you know, more money than ever before in the history of the city. But that doesn't trickle down. And New Orleans remains at the top of those lists for the wealth divide between white people and black people. So tourism doesn't solve everything, even when it's doing well.
These thoughts led Linnell to write a book titled Desire and Disaster in New Orleans, Tourism, Race, and Historical Memory.
Maybe anger is what started the whole project. Because to grow up in New Orleans, confronted by a tourist landscape of black docility and subservience, the mammy dolls and pickaninnies that glorified slavery, I think I took that personally as an assault that really defied my own experience and the experiences of my family members. So tourism didn't represent me in my own city. I didn't feel like I was part of the story.
It's not that the tourism industry isn't including black history, Linnell says. It's just including it in very particular ways. Take these mammy dolls that Linnell became fixated on after seeing them as memorabilia in New Orleans gift shops.
I think it's Cleo, the market lady, and Emma, circa 1850. Slave dolls, but they are very clear about them being servant dolls, which I think I put in quotation marks. Mm-hmm. These dolls have inscriptions about people gathering and singing songs as they fill their bags with cotton, and it was a whole community effort.
She's also struck by how the dolls look. They wear makeup and jewelry and have perfectly coiffed hair.
So we get this portrayal of New Orleans that is maintained of racial exceptionalism. There was slavery, but it was beneficent, and black folks owned slaves too, so it really couldn't have been that bad.
Right, and they all lived so close, and right. The Marigny, they were neighbors.
Right, so it was a glorious time.
Which makes me think about the role of history within the tourist narrative. We make our history easier for our tourists to digest, even allowing them to experience a bit of nostalgia for some of the most painful parts of our past. This link between history and tourism is what Linnell's book considers.
Your book is called Desire and Disaster in New Orleans, Tourism, Race, and Historical Memory. How do you define historical memory?
I mean, I think with that term, I'm trying to capture the relationship and maybe even the tension between history and memory to show how they're related and to challenge the notion that there is the one official history. That a lot depends on whose recollections are being relied on, what is the context at that moment in terms of which stories are told, who has the right to tell the story.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. So Linnell argues that New Orleans history is told in a certain way and then sold in a certain way. As a result, she says, the same people continue to benefit and the same people are left behind.
The reason why I touch your shoes, you know why?
What?
Because my name is Dan the Shoe Shine Man. I shine shoes. I've been shining shoes for 30 years. I do it every day, every morning.
I'm in the French Quarter again when Dan the Shoeshine Man rolls up on Mark Souther and I, the professor I've been talking to a lot about tourism. Dan started going in on Mark's shoes unprompted.
The day is your lucky day. Ask me why.
Why is that?
You get the Shoeshine by Dan the Shoeshine Man. And never stop or that talk to a stranger. Ask me why.
Why is that?
Because you never would have lost $20. Okay, pay for your shine, sir. Yeah. And thank you very much.
This all happened so fast and with finesse, I might add. Dan couldn't be stopped. But it was really something. When I thought about it, all three of us were in the quarter that morning for the same reason, tourism.
You know, what just happened to us
is what I wanted to ask you, kind of this nuanced relationship that the African-American community has mm-hmm. to tourism here, kind of the reality that it is something that they could still benefit from economically. I mean, mm-hmm. we just saw a very grassroots entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yes, we did. I actually find it sad, to be honest, because we have such a large number of people who have to resort to hustling on the streets, basically, just to make ends meet. So I wouldn't say that there's a lot of economic security in this kind of thing. It's the crumbs of the economy. He's picking up the crumbs under the table.
Think about how Dan the Shoeshine Man runs his operation just a few blocks from the Bourbon Orleans, a hotel located on Orleans and Bourbon Streets in the quarter. Mark and I walk over there after we say bye to Dan, and he tells me the history of the Orleans Ballroom.
Which is a place that wealthy, well-connected white men would select mistresses who were, you know, women of color.
These women were often referred to by the whites as quadroons, which implied that they were the light-skinned offspring of an interracial relationship.
The quadroon balls were these occasions that were celebrated, really. To many whites, I guess, this romanticized antebellum culture. Of course, it was not seen the same way to people of color. This was a place of exploitation, basically, both racial and sexual.
Later, the ballroom was turned into a Catholic school for Afro-Creole girls by the Sisters of the Holy Family, one of the first orders of African-American nuns. And then after a number of years, the school eventually moved out of the quarter.
But the controversy really came up in the 1960s when a Dallas developer came in and wanted to put up a hotel here. And so that raised a hue and cry about the Orleans Ballroom being this illustrious place of the city's romantic history.
Preservationists were up in arms about this site becoming a hotel. But in his research, Mark dug up archives from the Black-owned Louisiana Weekly paper with biting commentary, criticizing the idea that this part of history should be preserved.
They said, tear it down, build the hotel. Who cares about the Orleans Ballroom? This is just a white men's fantasy. We don't need that.
Ultimately, both things happened. They built the Bourbon Orleans and preserved the ballroom, which still stands next to the hotel. And it's highlighted on the hotel website history page. This is what it says when you pull it up. Events held here were masquerade balls, carnival balls, and the forever famous quadroon balls, at which beautiful, fair-skinned African-American women, or quadroons, were selected to be the mistresses of wealthy Creole gentlemen. Tourism infrastructure like hotels definitely provide positions for a lot of people. According to the UNO Hospitality Research Center's Metropolitan Report, in 2014, about 82,000 people were working in the hospitality industry. But Linnell says these job opportunities often replicate historic power structures and gaps in racial inequality.
Contemporary tourism, the service industry, continues to rely on Black labor. That needs to be invisible, that needs oftentimes to be complicit in the entertainment of, you know, largely white tourists and their experience in New Orleans.
There are efforts to present alternatives to the mainstream tourism experiences, such as the Hidden History Tour Company.
Welcome to Hidden History Tours, where we provide authentic presentations of stories not well known. We take you to the places, acquaint you with the people, and share their stories that have been kept hush-hush, but not anymore.
I also, you know, look at those moments of resistance and sometimes subtle, but often powerful, that they are offering some reinterpretations of those narratives.
There's a market for a more inclusive presentation of the past. But while the city's mainstream message still sells its culture and obscures a more complex history, these tourist dollars come at a price. Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music and to Pizza Delicious on Piety Street for their garlicky additional support. Catch Tripod on the air Thursday mornings during Morning Edition and again Monday afternoons during All Things Considered. You can also hear Tripod anytime, anywhere. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also go to WWNO.org where you can see images of the mammy dolls that Linnell describes, which inspired her to write her book. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and I'll Tripod you later.